Good morning, everyone. I want to go ahead and call order the Senate Committee on Judiciary. I want to thank everyone for being here. We have three bills that are currently scheduled for public hearing and work session, but before we do that, we have two measures, committee members, for possible induction as committee bills. And counsel, if you give us the first one, please.
LC 2784 is a notice of civil penalty and administrative law. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. And the second one?
LC 2528 is a ability for the court to enter a limited judgment if there's a motion to deny special motion.
All right. And just to expedite this, the chair is going to go ahead and move these two LCs, LC 2784 and LC 28, to be filed and introduced as committee bills. Is any discussion? Any objection?
I have no clue whether I object.
Yeah. It's too early for that. All right, now we've got that out of the way. Let's go ahead and start our public hearings. We'll start with Senate Bill 398, and we'll open that public hearing. And Councilor, can you give us the overview?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 398 adds abandonment of equines to the crime of animal abandonment. There is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. I have no amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. We have a number of individuals here to testify today and appears to be in support of the bill. What I'm going to do is Scott Beckstead. Scott, why don't you go ahead and come up, and then if you have there... We have Darla Clark and Sandy Hugh. I don't know if they are with you specifically.
They are here in support of the bill. I thought I would have Mr. Wayne Geiger come up with me from Lighthouse Sanctuary.
Okay, so Mr. Geiger is going to come up with Scott. And is there anyone else that you'd like to fill out that panel?
Glenn, would you care to come up? Glenn Cole from the OVM.
Okay, that'll be our first panel, and then we'll take the next one after that. And when you're ready.
Thank you. Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee, my name is Scott Beckstead. I'm the Senior Oregon Director for the Humane Society of the United States, a position that I have held since last summer. Prior to that, I practiced law on the Central Oregon coast and have been involved in animal welfare for my entire adult life. I was originally hired by the Humane Society to come on board and help set up a horse sanctuary in North Douglas County. The Dutchess Sanctuary is 1,120 acres dedicated to taking in horses and providing them with a quiet and peaceful life. Shortly after we got the sanctuary up and running, we got a phone call from the Oregon Department of Agriculture that some horses had been abandoned in Clackamas County.
These are photographs that were taken after the horses arrived at our property in North Douglas County. There were 11 horses in all that had been abandoned just outside of Malala.
Scott, just to make certain, if we can take that microphone and just turn it towards you, so I want to make sure this gets on the tape.
Sure. There were 11 horses in all that had been abandoned, and the Oregon Department of Agriculture is charged statutorily with taking custody of horses that have been abandoned or are running loose on private land.
Now, we were contacted by the Oregon Department of Agriculture because the concern was, given the condition of these horses, some of them may not receive any bids at the public auction, which the Department of Agriculture is required to provide. And sure enough, there were five horses that did not have any bidders, and so I, on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States, placed the minimum bid of $5 a piece. For $25, brought home five obviously badly treated horses. At about the same time, I received a phone call from the Bureau of Land Management out in eastern Oregon. They had found 9 horses, and these are nice domestic horses, tame horses, halter broke horses, just wandering out in the desert with no means of providing for themselves, in very bad shape, and the BLM was trying to do the right thing, and they took in these horses and made sure that they were cared for. Prior to all of this, I had heard reports coming from Klamath County about horses being abandoned outside on the hills outside of Klamath Falls. There was a horse that was abandoned in Tigard on a golf course in December. There were 14 horses found abandoned on a highway out near Burns. We have been receiving reports of horses being abandoned at auctions and horse shows and fairs. In these hard economic times, people are struggling to take care of their horses, and some people are doing the irresponsible thing and just simply turning them loose. I received a phone call from a lady in Klamath Falls who came home to find several horses had been turned loose into her pasture. When she called local law enforcement, she was informed that horse abandonment was not a crime. What we need to do with Senate Bill 398 is send a message that dumping your horse and making your problem someone else's problem is a Class B misdemeanor. Right now, it is a crime to abandon your dog or your cat. It's a Class B misdemeanor. It is not a crime to abandon a horse because horses are livestock and livestock are excluded from the existing animal abandonment statute, thus the need for this bill. So we have tried to tackle this problem from the other side, and I want to make sure that the committee is aware of this. In October, we convened a meeting in Bend of a large and diverse group of people from throughout the state of Oregon. It included people from the horse rescue community, law enforcement, the veterinarians, the Oregon Department of Agriculture was there, and then we held a second meeting in Eugene. An even more diverse group, including people from the thoroughbred breeders, the quarter horse breeders, the Morgan people, the Arabian people, all showed up. And we've come together with a common purpose of trying to help people in these hard economic times take care of their horses and to save as many horses as we can. So what the Oregon Horse Welfare Council does is it meets on a monthly basis and works on coming up with concrete solutions to help people. So, for example, we are creating a hay assistance program, a hay bank, so that if someone is struggling to get through the winter and they just, you know, their horses are going hungry but for the lack of hay, they would be able to keep their horses. We believe it's more cost-effective to simply provide someone in that situation with direct assistance in the form of hay. It's more cost-effective to just take someone $500 worth of hay than it is to wait until the horses are starving and then law enforcement gets involved and then the courts have to get involved, and it's a real strain on public resources. So we believe that adding horse abandonment to the existing animal abandonment statute will get people to think twice before they abandon their horses, and then we're trying very hard every month to get the message out to the horse-owning public that there are programs available, there is help available, and that there really is no excuse for abandoning your horse, nor is there any excuse for neglecting your horse. I think I'll leave it at that, but I also wanted to add, I received a message this morning from Beverly Harper, the president of the Oregon Horsemen's Association, stating that their board of directors did vote last night to endorse Senate Bill 398. So in addition to the endorsers that you have before you that I submitted with my written materials, I would also add the Oregon Horsemen's Association. So we do have a very broad and diverse group of people who are supporting this bill. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you. And the other gentlemen, let's see, I've got Glenn and Wayne, whoever wants to go next.
Thank you, Senator Bozanski, for this opportunity. I'm with the Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary. My name is Wayne Geiger. I'm the president and founder of the sanctuary. The board of directors for the Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary has also has also endorsed unanimously the Senate Bill 398. The Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary, even though it is dedicated to the rescue of all abused and neglected farm animals, we have recently, particularly this year, seen an increase in calls and reports of abused and neglected horses, abandoned horses in particular. This includes, of course, horses, donkeys, and mules. We've had a few calls on each of those. Not only does the equine abandonment, if you will, create a problem for individuals from people who have called us, literally called us and said, we have a horse in our pasture, horses on the road or whatever. It obviously utilizes the already limited and stretched resources of our government agencies. We are located in SIO, which is Linn County, and I've been working directly with the Linn County Sheriff Department in particularly. And, of course, it puts additional burden on the Oregon Department of Agriculture, who oftentimes must be involved in abandoned equine. And, of course, what is particularly interesting for the public in general is the traffic hazards that these animals pose when they're found on the roads. One of the horses we have rescued, who we eventually did find an owner for, was on the road and was hit by a truck. We have had to use our limited resources ourselves, being a nonprofit agency, to bring this animal back to health and to correct his problems. And, of course, our nonprofit agencies throughout the state are already stretched looking for more resources. Scott has mentioned we're using the hay bank and other resources with this welfare council. of course, these animals were once known as the strength and the pride of the American West. And to find these animals like this, whether it's starvation cases, abandonment cases, certainly diminishes the pride that we once had for our equine. Animal abandonment in general is just cruel. These animals rely on us to provide for them and to abandon them in sometimes desolate areas without the food and welfare that they need. Is just should not be acceptable in today's terms. So for those exact reasons and many that Scott has already mentioned, we offer those reasons for support, for your consideration for support of Senate Bill 398 and to help hold those accountable for their actions.
Right. Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, well, thank you. Good morning, Chair Pozanski, Vice Chair Boquist, and committee members. My name is Glenn Kolb. I'm the Executive Director with the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, and I'm here this morning on behalf of our membership in support of Senate Bill 398, really for many of the same reasons elaborated already, so I won't go beyond that. I do want to say that we believe that these are basically good people, but people who wanted to do the right thing, the individuals who may be overwhelmed with their situation and then not necessarily know what options are available to them. Simply letting them go, however, is not the right thing to do, but sometimes good people don't always make the best decisions, and our hope is that with passage of this bill, it'll bring attention to the issue and alert horse owners of their responsibilities.
Great, thank you. Questions for anyone on the panel? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe the veterinarian can answer the question here. In the case where horses are either need to be euthanized or put down because they can't be saved, I know in the state there's a, for better word, a shortage of rendering plants. Can you address that issue in the case where we can't save a horse and we have to put it down, what the options are actually in the state today?
Chair Pozanski and Vice Chair Boquist, for the record, I am not a veterinarian. I'm a layperson, hired staff by the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. But you raise an issue that is challenging, not just in this state, but across the country. There are costs with euthanasia of horses and difficult in their carcass disposal. I'm not sure I have a good answer for you. It's something nationally, our National Veterinary Association talks about, and I talk about with my colleagues. But I, at this point, I'm unable to give you a really good answer.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Maybe the Humane Society could address that.
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist.
This is an issue that has received a lot of discussion with the Oregon Horse Welfare Council. It is a problem, and frankly, many people are faced with that situation where there simply is, number one, they may not want to take their horse to the auction because they don't want it to fall into the wrong hands, and they don't have the financial ability to continue paying for the horse, and so euthanasia becomes a very viable alternative. It costs quite a bit of money, however, to hire a veterinarian to come out and euthanize your horse, and then you're stuck with what to do with the horse's body after it's dead. And there are, as I'm sure you know, a lot of regulations and rules about what you can and can't do with a dead animal. And so this is something that has received a lot of attention. We have had conversations with the veterinarians about coming up with low-cost euthanasia alternatives. We have discussed with the OVMA, and this is part of our strategy, and I'll tell you right now, it's nothing that we've come up with any firm solutions, but we're working on it, and that is, developing humane alternatives to lethal injection. Lethal injection is the most commonly used form when you have a veterinarian come out and euthanize your horse. There is, I think, a consensus among the members of the Oregon Horse Welfare Council that gunshot is an acceptable form of euthanasia if properly done by someone who knows what they're doing. This is something that we are exploring. Is this something where we could find a way to get help out to people at a much lower cost than what a veterinarian might charge?
Yeah, follow up, sure. And I don't think you have an answer to this, but maybe the other people testifying, and I'm really not focused on the euthanasia. I'm more concerned about the carcass, the medical and health issues revolving around carcass disposal.
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist. There are some businesses in Oregon that will help people deal with carcass removal. There is a farm in the Eugene area that will provide burial services for horses. They will come and get your horse, and they will bury it at a relatively low cost. That outfit, I believe, is called Omega Farms. And there is a company that travels a circuit throughout Oregon to pick up animal carcasses and takes those carcasses to a pickup point in the Portland area where they are then transported, I believe, up to the Olympia, Washington area for rendering.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, it's I noticed you had zebra in here. It's hard to imagine you get many zebra unless they escape from the zoo, but do you have any? Was that just thrown in because it's also
you would
equine?
Be surprised. I'm sorry. Yes, okay. Senator Dingfelder, you would be surprised at how many zebras there are out there. Zebras have a sort of cult following among some in the United States as an exotic pet. And as with other equines, they eat a lot of food. And the other thing that there is out there is the breeding of zebra hybrids, crossings of zebras with horses and donkeys. And it's just sort of an exotic pet to have. And so we didn't want to leave anyone out.
Okay, I have a separate question, though, which is you mentioned that this has been regulated as a livestock issue in the past. So have you talked to, I don't see the Farm Bureau as one of the organizations that's listed. So one, is there any opposition to the bill? Two, have you worked with the Farm Bureau?
Chair Przanski, Senator Dingfelder, I have sat down and talked with the representative of the Farm Bureau. I have not heard any specific concerns to the bill. I also have received word that the cattlemen do not oppose the bill. Mm-hmm. I have not heard of anyone who has voiced any substantive opposition to the bill. I engaged with conversations with Senator Whitsitt and with the representative from my district, Representative Hanna. I think their concerns, and I don't mean to speak for these gentlemen, but I think their concerns were that we weren't making the situation worse. And again, all we're trying to do, we're not trying to put any extra burden or onus on horse owners. All we're trying to do is send the message that you can't just make your problem someone else's problem by dumping your horse. And so that's the intent of the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Pozanski. Scott, we did talk quite a bit about this, and just to put it on the record, my concerns for the bill, and I do support the bill, but my concerns is the unintended consequences of somebody that loses their job, is unable to feed their horses. If they keep them confined and don't feed them, that's animal abuse. If they turn them loose, that's animal abandonment. If they take them to the auction, there's no bid. If they don't have any feed for them, and it puts them in an untenable situation. I think we're going to see a lot more of that as we discuss. We're already seeing a great deal more of it, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. There's a lot of horses out there. I think that following up on Senator Boquist's concerns, at the euthanasia program, there's certainly a bullet works as well as a lethal injection adequately applied. A lethal injection can actually prevent the animal from getting into the rendering chain, because depending on what you use for a lethal injection may not be appropriate to put into that chain. The Oregon has been studying the rendering situation since first meeting I went to was the morning after Ted Kulongoski was reelected, however long ago that's been. And they're still, as far as I know, still studying a way to find some funds to study the issue. It's something that is really concerning in that the nearest rendering facilities to Oregon are, I believe, in Redding, California, and in either Olympia or Seattle, Washington. The primary cause of that is all of the environmental rules and regulations that prevent you from creating a rendering facility. And so the people sitting around the table trying to solve the problem are individuals who are representing the very agencies who promulgate the rules that make it impossible. I know I'm getting a field here.
Close.
So the other thing I'm a little concerned about is that whether there's any priority. I see that the district attorneys support this bill, but the district attorneys primarily have not prosecuted people for animal abuse or pets for animal abandonment. It's something they just simply, it's not a priority for them. And I think if you even go back in the records of the 36 counties, you'll find very few successful prosecutions for animal abuse. So I would hope that if we pass this law, that the district attorneys will take it into consideration, that it's that the legislature has made it a priority and that they should deal with the issue. And finally, I think that your ancillary plans here of a hay assistance program, sanctuaries, and an alternative euthanasial and disposal situation, which gives the individual who has the horse that they want but they can no longer afford another way to go without being criminalized. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I just want to put on the record my understanding. What we're attempting to do with this bill, if it goes forward, is to make people aware that if they are having these difficulties and they can't get help through means to maintain them, instead of waiting to take them to auction, maybe you need to make that decision sooner so they're still in good health and could in fact get a bid, is what I would assume is part of the education message for individuals. And then regarding the rendering plants, there used to be one that closed in between just north of Eugene toward Harrisburg. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought it was because of financial. They weren't getting enough business, as they would say, to actually keep it open. And I don't know, Senator Wissett, if based on the information you've received, if people have actually attempted to open up new rendering plants and are running into these difficulties, as compared to maybe the market just isn't quite there to the level that you would need to be operating in the black.
Chair Pozanski, the ones that I'm familiar with are the rendering plant in Klamath that closed as a result of regulatory issues. The one in Eagle Point that closed both on regulatory issues and also on economic issues. The fact of the matter is that their land along the Rogue River was is practically priceless. So really, they take the plant down and sell it to somebody and retire forever. You know?
Right. Business decisions.
The rendering situation, though, is being made more difficult because due to scrapie and sheep, they're not allowed to render sheep anymore. Due to BSE, the bovine spongiform encephalopathy, the mad cow disease, which is virtually non-existent in the United States, but nonetheless, we have rules and regulations that prevent the brain and spinal column are not allowed to be rendered. And if you've ever been around a rendering plant at all, you can imagine the job it would be to take the brain, right. And that's not going to happen. You know, right. So it becomes a blockage for doing it.
Okay, Senator Bonamici, then we'll go back to Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to talk about rendering. Way out of my league. I have a question about something that Scott said about how this will make people think twice before abandonment, which, following up on Senator Witsit's comment about this being a message to the DAs that there should be a priority, I do hope that if, in fact, this is intended to be a deterrent, that all of the endorsing organizations and all of your organizations really work hard to get the message out to people so that they understand and it does work as a deterrent. I'm a little curious about if this had been the law, when you found those horses, would you try to track down the owner then and have them prosecuted? Or is it primarily to prosecute people, or is it intended to keep the problem from happening at the outset?
Can I respond? Right. Chair Przanski, Senator Bonamici. I approached the Oregon District Attorneys Association at their annual conference in December, and I addressed the entire body and told them about the Oregon Horse Welfare Council. And I explained to them that if they were deterred from prosecution because of the logistics of what to do with horses that had been seized, because I know that that is a very real concern with prosecutors and with sheriffs and with counties. If you go in and you seize a neglected or an abandoned horse, what do you do with it? The Oregon Horse Welfare Council has created a statewide network of foster homes to take in horses in those kinds of situations. And in addressing both your question, Senator Bonamici, as well as Senator Whitsitt's comments regarding prosecution, I believe that there has been, over the past several years, heightened scrutiny of animal crimes against animals in this state. There have been several legislative measures taken to make animal abuse more serious. We now have a felony animal abuse statute that has been used, I know, several times in Lincoln County, where my spouse was the animal control deputy for the Lincoln County Sheriff. And there are a number of other cases, high-profile cases. These cases tend to get a lot of press because they cause a lot of public outrage. And so I think that because we do have, in this state anyway, a growing awareness, I think that this kind of bill is exactly what is needed to send the message that, number one, it is against the law to abandon your horse, but number two, if you do, there will be consequences. And yes, there was an attempt by the Clackamas County Sheriff to find out who abandoned these horses in Malala. But there were just too few clues. I mean, they were just out there in the middle of the woods and had obviously been there for some time because they were emaciated. So, you know, in that case, it was very difficult to prosecute or investigate.
All right, last set of questions, Senator Bookquist.
I'll pass. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. We have another panel that wants to come forward. They have traveled over 100 miles, so I want to make sure we get their testimony before we move on. Darla Clark, Sandy Huey, and Lee Bartholomew. And it looks like you have statements to be made. What I'd ask you to do, if you could, within your statements, if they're in conjunction with what we've already heard, if you can just give us that as compared to, and if you have written testimony, if you can just kind of speak from the heart as compared to, or I don't know if you submitted it or not. Okay, then go ahead and.
Okay, thank you. My name is Darla Clark. I am a property and a business owner in Douglas County. I'm also the founder and the director of Strawberry Mountain Mustangs, a nonprofit equine rescue and rehab facility. Brought with you just a couple of pictures, and I apologize, the quality of these pictures is not like large posters here, but Strawberry Mountain Mustangs was called to pick up these horses the end of December. These horses were abandoned in probably October or November on another landowner's place. She took the horses into her herd and was trying to feed them. It became quite evident that that was beyond her means. Her horses were soon suffering from the lack of food, as were these three. Mm-hmm. Strawberry Mountain has several thousand dollars into the rehab and the care of these three horses. Ultimately, one will still have to be euthanized. It's not able to be rehabilitated, and we can't salvage it. As a property owner, I'd like you to know that I'm concerned about my rights, my animal's health. What happens if one of these horses was sick or contagious and abandoned on my property? It would infect my herd. Of course, I would have then astronomical vet bills for all of my animals. As a business owner, I also own a boarding facility, a private boarding barn and stable. I've got clients there that if an animal was abandoned on that property and infected those other animals, in the very least, you're looking at liability issues. Safety concerns with them being out on the roadways. Suddenly it becomes dropped in my lap, and then it's my problem. Rescues around the state, as Scott said, are working in conjunction with the Oregon Horse Welfare Council. We're looking at euthanasia assistance. Already there are programs out there to help owners with the cost of euthanasia. Through Front Range Equine out of Colorado, we work to reimburse 50% of the costs of the euthanasia and the body disposal. So there are programs out there to help financially. There are also places where owners may donate their horse, either for large animal food, large cats like the Wildlife Safari, although they do have a waiting list, but it is another option. There are alternatives. Abandoning the horse is not the solution. It becomes someone else's problem at that point. And until you're faced with this, until you wake up in the morning and these guys are standing in your backyard, that's the time when you think, what am I going to do? Because there's no other options. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, Sandy?
Yes. Thank you. Yep. I'm Sandy Huey from Emerald Valley Equine Assistance, and I am the president and founder. I am located in Central Oregon, so the problem over there with abandonment is huge because of all the open public lands. And we also picked up three horses from the Ochoco Mountains, and they are or were turned loose, open range area. Unfortunately, their stallion is also turned loose there, and so breeding to all these abandoned horses created a herd of abandoned horses. And I'm in Lake County, where there is now what is considered a dumping ground for abandoned horses out by Wagon Tire, the town of Wagon Tire, and there's literally dozens of abandoned horses and no agencies able to do anything about it whatsoever. We, as a rescue, have been in business for about 9.5 years, and we have rescued and rehabilitated about over 400 horses. But with the economy the way it is, we are full, as are most of the rescues in the state of Oregon, and unable to take in all the calls that we currently receive on a weekly basis to pick up horses. If this is passed, maybe some of the abandonment issues will go away and people will think twice before abandoning the horses out there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Lee.
I'm Lee Bartholomew. I'm a deputy sheriff down in Douglas County. I've worked in the Animal Control Division for 18 years. I'm also on the executive board of the Oregon Animal Control Council, which is one of the co-sponsors. That's a statewide association of all the animal control agencies, animal welfare agencies, and humane societies. So the thing I'm here for is to talk to you about why we think it's good as far as a law enforcement standpoint. Obviously, if these horses were found abandoned, we could probably prosecute them under a neglect charge, too, because of the condition. However, as it stands right now, if somebody were just to drop off some healthy-looking horses at like a shelter or a veterinary office or someplace like that, a pasture, we have no legal grounds to go after them because the animals aren't neglected at that time, and there is no provision for animal abandonment for horses. So there is no incentive for people not to do it. From a legal standpoint for us, from law enforcement, we like there to be some kind of a penalty for people doing bad behavior. Obviously, we don't want to go out there and have to prosecute a whole bunch of people for that because we're tied up with time, and we're also tied up. I know the district attorney's offices are tied up for time, too. But at the same point, people have alternatives. And I know in Douglas County, if you contact us, we will give you all kinds of suggestions of how to take care of problems. And I know from being a part of the Oregon Animal Control Council that other agencies in the state have those suggestions available for people, too. This last year, we have had several people in Douglas County who have called us and said, hey, I've lost my job, my horses are in a stable, I can't afford it anymore, can you help me? And we've been able to help them. We would rather do that than to have them go and take them out and just let them loose somewhere. As far as abandoning animals, about prosecution, there, people still abandon dogs, they still abandon cats, they still abandon other animals, but we do prosecute on those. And being in this field for 18 years, I can tell you the 18 years I've been here, that we are prosecuting a lot more animal cases now than we did 18 years ago. And I think we need to actually thank the people in legislation for strengthening the laws and giving us the ability to go after some of these people to set some examples so that other people learn from those kind of mistakes, because we want to make sure people know that it's not right to have an animal like a horse, which is a lot like a dog, who think of you as their companion, think of you as their provider, and then you take them out and drop them off in the middle of nowhere. They're not able to fend for themselves like they used to back in the days when they were wild horses. They've now been domesticated just like dogs, and oftentimes they succumb from weather, traffic accidents, or health problems. So that's why we're here, is because we want people to know that there is a penalty for doing this, but we also want them to know that there are alternative measures, and all they have to do is call and check with us, and we will do our best to provide those alternative measures to them.
Great, thank you. Any questions for this panel? Darla, I had one question. I had the opportunity to go out to the Duchess Sanctuary, so I know where it's located. You said yours is in Douglas County. Where are you located?
We're just east of Roseburg. We're probably 20 minutes southeast of the Duchess.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming the distances you traveled and being part of the testimony today. The last person I have is Katie Fast. And is there anyone else who wanted to give testimony today on SB 398? If you do, please come forward. Katie, when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski and members of the committee. Katie Fast with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. We do have some concerns with line 7 in the bill with the current language for the animal abandonment. It applies more consistently with domestic animals than we believe with horses. For my members...
Katie, you said yes. Line 7 on page 1 or page 2?
Page 1. The term providing for animals continued care is the language that we have some concerns with. And I have to apologize, we have not been able to share this with the Humane Society of the U.S. yet. My board met yesterday.
Just give you a heads up, that is existing law now.
And I understand that. And our concern is that it applies for the current language relating to domestic animals. But we don't believe it applies well to equines. And I'll give an example. For my members who have working cattle ranch horses, yearlings may be turned out on a BLM permit for a couple months, and like cattle, not seen during the time that they're on the range. And so our question is, how would that be considered, that activity be considered animals' continued care? We believe it fits under minimum care that is defined in the statute, but there is no definition for continued care, and that would be our concern. And I guess my request is to just have some time to sit down with the Humane Society of the United States. I think it's something that we can work out
okay.
With some amendments.
All right, that's fine with the chair. I'm going to leave it there unless someone had a question that needs to be answered. If not, then we'll do that. I was not planning on moving it today anyway.
Thank you.
So this will give you an opportunity, supporters or sponsors of the bill, and we'll figure out where we go from there, if anywhere. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 398, and we're now going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 280. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 280 increases the penalties for the crime of involvement in animal fighting from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C felony, as participating in cockfighting to the list of crimes subject to criminal forfeiture, increases the penalty for participating in cockfighting from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C felony. This has no revenue impact. I have spoken to the fiscal office, and they expect a substantial fiscal on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. President Courtney, I know that you're here to give testimony, and based on your schedule, I'm going to ask you to come on up at this point. And I don't know if you want anyone else to be with you during this part or not.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Dingfelder, Senator Chris, and Senator Bonamici, Senator Whitson. My name is Peter Courtney. I live at 2925 Island View Drive North here in Salem, 97303. I'm a state senator, and I'm here supporting the Senate Bill 280. You perhaps remember back in our February supplemental session, I introduced Senate Bill 1072 and got some interesting attention on that bill that involved dogfighting. We had some serious dogfighting issues in the state of Oregon, particularly in the Mid-Valley. And that bill was introduced to attempt to deal with that, supported by the law enforcement officials as well as many others. And simply, this bill that's before you does the exact same thing as Senate Bill 1072 did for other animal fights, particularly cockfighting, but there's also apparently a statute in the book involving animal fights. So we're simply cleaning up that statute as well as making sure that if you attend a cockfight, as you now know, if you attend a dogfight, we hear a change in the penalty from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C felony. So it becomes consistent with whether you attend a dog fight or a cockfighting or any kind of animal fighting, because we don't know what's coming. And that's basically what this measure does. Because of the growing concern for animal fighting, Oregon law enforcement agencies have been sponsored investigating illegal animal fighting courses in both Madras and Salem over the past few years. And I'm joined today by law enforcement officials who deal with crime on a daily basis. We're also joined by representatives of the Humane Society in the Oregon Animal Control Council. So animal cruelty is something that I've been involved in for several sessions, as some of you may know. So that's what this bill is all about. I just looked at Sasha Pollack, my very learned and experienced policy director in my office who works hard with me on this legislation. I don't know about the fiscal. That caught me by surprise. I just looked at her. So I don't know what that's about. Obviously, I, as the presiding officer, am extremely sensitive to that, so I don't know where that's going to go, and I'm not trying to play games either in that chair, so I'm not trying to make your lives difficult, because I realize we're going from a higher class of crime, and et cetera, there's ramifications to that. So I'll just be up front with you about that right off the bat. So that's what this bill does, and very simply, and I hope I've described it fairly simply. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the President? Mr. President, I would think that the reason that I haven't seen the actual financial impact, but going from a misdemeanor to a felony puts it into the state system as compared to being something that would be like for incarceration more so at the local level. But clearly, at the same time, a Class C felony, most of those would actually be serving time in a state facility, but maybe there's some type of designation since it's a felon that the state's putting money back in, probably through the SB 1145 process, but we'll look into that. We weren't intending to move it today because of the fiscal, and we'll see where we can go from here. Senator Boquist.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just comment because I've worked on the House side on the previous dogfighting bill, and there wasn't a major fiscal hit on it, and there's a much more prevalent dog crime issue than there is there. So
right. We'll look at it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. This next panel is going to be Scott Beckstead, Jackie Beckstead, and Rob Ovett.
And let's see.
I don't care who goes first, so y'all make a quick decision.
I'll go first because I'll be extremely brief.
Excellent.
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee, I'm Scott Beckstead, Senior Oregon Director for the Humane Society of the United States, here in support of Senate Bill 280 to close what we believe is a loophole in the existing cockfighting statute so that anyone who is in participating in a cockfight as a spectator or someone who is an attendee will suffer the same consequences. We believe this gives prosecutors an important tool to gain effective evidence and information against the people who are actually fighting the roosters. So the Humane Society of the United States urges you to support Senate Bill 280. Thank you.
Thank you. Jackie.
Chair Przanski, committee members, I'm Jacqueline Beckstead. I'm the National Animal Cruelty Caseworker for the Humane Society of the United States. I've done that for the past 6 months. Prior to that, I worked in Lincoln County as Animal Control Deputy for the Sheriff's Office. And back in Lincoln County, I had an animal raid of 100 fighting birds. And now in the last 6 months, as working as a National Animal Control Officer for the Humane Society, I've been on larger busts of 2,000 birds, 1,500 birds, and during all of those raids, there has been the fighting, animal cruelty, drugs, weapons, so many other crimes that go along with it that I think any message we can send to the people doing the illegal activities and the animal cruelty, that we need to take that approach. And so I'm just here to urge that Senate Bill 280 is passed.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Rob.
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist, and Senators, my name is Rob Bovet, Lincoln County District Attorney, here on behalf of the Oregon District Attorneys Association in favor of this bill and the previous bill, actually. Two brief comments. One, I think I can speak for all of my colleagues. We take these matters very seriously, and we prosecute them aggressively, whether it's animal abuse, animal neglect, animal abandonment, or in this case, animal fighting. You have consistently, over the past two decades that I've been involved with animal legislation, helped us improve Oregon laws to send a strong message that that type of conduct is unacceptable. We need, this is the right time for both of these messages to go out. The second comment, just real briefly, I really question the fiscal on this one. I think if the Criminal Justice Commission staff analyzes this bill and what it does, I suspect you won't have a fiscal. But I leave that to you. Again, strongly support this bill and 398, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we take questions, first, Rob, congratulations on your recent election and now being Lincoln County District Attorney. And also want to just acknowledge all of your work in the past and the continued work with the legislature on other matters, including like metal theft, which I'll just give you an update after we get finished today. And then also, Jackie, if I could ask you, since you're now doing this on for the on the national level, these couple of busts that you talked about that were very large population numbers, was that within our state or was that other regional activity?
Chair Przanski, it was South California, the last two I had in the last 2 months, and that was about 2,500 birds and 2,000 birds, and at each one also going there for the cockfighting. With your search warrant, we ended up finding over a pound of crystal methamphetamines, weapons, marijuana, cocaine. So it's just an all-around good thing to get in there, you know. And the felony for the spectators really helps assist in that.
Okay, thank you. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up to Rob and DA side. In anticipating of a major fiscal, how often in your history, or maybe you can get back with us from the other DAs, is a single charge of cockfighting actually issued? I know the Humane Society has mentioned there's all general multiple charges that go across there. I guess what I'm looking for is, for a better word, ammunition when the fiscal comes and to say, okay, this person has been charged with four other crimes. They're going anyway if convicted, versus what is the, how many individuals out there just get charged for this one crime that might be an addition to the system?
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Boquist, obviously I can only speak for Lincoln County. We don't have a whole lot of these that we charge, because we don't have a whole lot of these in Lincoln County, but we're a relatively small county. The last one we had was, in fact, Jackie's case, from 6 months ago or so. But why I say that I suspect there's not going to be a fiscal is not only the very low volume of cases, but where we suspect the Criminal Justice Commission will rank this on the guidelines grid. I don't think there's going to be any fiscal, much less a substantial fiscal, and those are the two reasons. I think it's just a low volume, and it's going to get a relatively low ranking.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think just another thing to put on the record, though. My understanding, this type of activity, you usually have a number of people who are in participants. So it could be just the sheer numbers compared on the dogfighting and stuff like that. I don't know what type of crowd they get as compared to the cockfighting, but the stories I'm reading, which are more regional, not here in Oregon, there's some substantial number of people that show up for some of these things, and that could be what they're looking at, but we will look at it because I think it's interesting, as Senator Boquist would say, had said that it would seem like on this type of offense, it would be more finite than maybe in some of these other ones. All right. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. The last panel I have is Lee Bartholomew and Ben Unger. Was there anyone else that wanted to give testimony today on Senate Bill 280? If you do, please let me know.
I just got a verbal.
Lee?
Again, I'm Lee Bartholomew from Douglas County, Oregon, Deputy Sheriff there in Animal Control Division. Also here as a representative of the Oregon Animal Control Council. The reason we're for this bill is, of course, for a couple of reasons. One, we think it should be the same as it is for dog fighting, because animal fighting, whether it be cocks or dog fighting, the penalties should be the same for both of them. In regards to the dog fighting crowds get big too, yeah, they do. They're the same size, basically, as the cockfighting crowds. The other thing we want is it does give us a tool to be able to utilize some of these spectators who are there just for spectating reasons to maybe find out more information about who is actually organizing the actual fights and the people who are actually breeding and participating in those fights. It does give us a tool to be able to maybe leverage them into giving us more information. Thirdly, again, there's not much of a penalty for something. People don't tend to pay much attention to it. Misdemeanors are handled inside, and a misdemeanor anymore is kind of like a violation back in the old days. People don't tend to see them as much of a penalty anymore, but a felony is something that does keep people's attention, and I think that would get people to maybe think twice about participating or going and watching these events if they had the possibility of being charged with a felony. So that's what we're here for.
Thank you, Ben. Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. My name is Ben Unger, and I'm the Special Assistant to Attorney General John Kroger, and I come before you in support of Senate Bill 280 on behalf of the Attorney General. A couple of things to add. I think that the law enforcement officials that have come before me have spoken well to this bill. I do think that, and the Attorney General believes, that this will be an effective deterrent to spectators attending these events, and that deterrent will then hopefully reduce the number of actual events that happen, because once the spectators disappear, the money disappears and the events disappear. Second, I also want to echo District Attorney Bovet's skepticism around a large fiscal, both not only because the crime will actually rank quite low on the grid from the Criminal Justice Commission, but also because just of the very few cases that we that actually happen around cockfighting in the state. We operate a hotline that actually takes calls about this issue from around the state. Since we launched the hotline in the middle of last year, we've only received 11 contacts, both on the phone and over the internet, about animal fighting in general, not just cockfighting. I can't imagine that this bill will make those contacts go up substantially. So I think that the fiscal, both from the Crime Justice, the Commission's grid perspective, and from just the frequency perspective, I don't think there should be a big fiscal on this bill. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that cockfighting actually is relatively interconnected with other organized crime here in the state. When we did have our major bust here in Oregon, they not only found a large cockfighting ring, but they also found, I have to look at my notes here, they seized $100,000 in cash, they seized 50 guns, 2.5 pounds of methamphetamine, 1.5 pounds of cocaine, and 6 pounds of marijuana. So passing this law will help in our state's overall effort to try to crack down on drug trafficking and also crack down on organized crime here in the state. So for those reasons, the Attorney General supports the bill.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
One quick question. In your testimony, Ben, you said that Oregon will join 15 other states in making a cockfighting a felony. Do the other 15 states also criminalize the spectator being there?
Chair Brzezinski, Senator Whitsitt, I do believe that is the case, yes. Those numbers come from my research trying to figure out how many states have spectators who attend cockfights, a Class C felony. That, my understanding, that was what I referred to in my written testimony.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, thank you again. All right, that's going to conclude the testimony on Senate Bill 280. We'll close the public hearing on that, and we'll open up our last public hearing for the day, Senate Bill 356. Counsel.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I am not doing this bill. Mr. Taylor is, but I don't see him in the room. So.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we can do is, Courtney, if you just the witness sheets. Rob, I know you're going to be involved in this one, so if you want to go ahead and come on up. We can probably take care of Mr. Taylor's work here since I've got Rob here to get us started. And let's see. Great.
Again, for the record, Rob Ovett, Lincoln County District Attorney, and with me is Dinah Vidlins from Crook County District Attorney. And I'll keep this very brief. Senate Bill 356 is the result of the efforts of a work group that put together following the passage of Ballot Measure 53. Ballot Measure 53 did some corrections to Ballot Measure 3, which passed in 2000. So Senate Bill 356 is our attempt to really accomplish three things primarily. First is to provide the implementing legislation for Measure 53, which tunes up the civil forfeiture laws of the state of Oregon. Also to reflect the compromise that various parties struck in the summer of 2005, global solutions to dealing with both civil and criminal forfeiture. And then also to make a lot of what I would characterize as technical improvements to Oregon's civil forfeiture laws, and I largely have to give credit to Dave Hendricks from the Legislative Council for that. One of our goals was to make ORS Chapter 475A much more user-friendly. It was,
and still is, a bit clunky in the way it works and the way it reads, and so our efforts were to make this more transparent and user-friendly,
as well as to create the implementing legislation for Measure 53. I could give you the whole long history of civil forfeiture in Oregon, but I suspect you don't want that.
I know you can, but I don't think we need it. But thank you. And so basically what we have here, this Senate Bill 356 is one that's basically trying to codify what the voters have passed, and as you said, helping us clean up maybe the statute, so it's a little more user-friendly.
That's correct.
I would note that there are two, because this is a bit fairly large bill, we did notice a couple of technical things that need to be fixed, so this right. This bill is not ready to move. There's one typographical error, and then there's one other technical error.
I understand.
Chair Brzezinski, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. I'm Dinah Vidalins. I'm Crook County District Attorney, and I just am here to answer questions and also let you know that the Oregon District Attorneys Association supports this legislation.
Great. Well, thank you for coming over. We're going to open up for discussions or panels, and Dave Hendricks is here. Mr. Hendricks, is there anything that you need to share with us for the record? I know that we've got this work is still in progress. With a couple of things, if there's anything else that you'd like to get on the record, fine, if not.
Chair Brzezinski, members of committee, Dave Hendricks from Legislative Council's office. I do not. I'll get those amendments going as quickly as possible since I know you want to move the bill.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Any other questions for anyone here? Council?
Mr. Chair, members of committee, I have a memo from our legal intern on one interesting issue that Dave Hendricks raised, and that's one of the things we're doing in the bill is recodifying all of Oregon forfeiture laws to ensure that anything that was passed in the past is still constitutional. Because one of the interesting questions is when the Court of Appeals found ballot measure 3 unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court found it constitutional, it raises some issues as to whether we have to codify the law or not. And the simplest thing to do is to do so. And that's what part of this bill does, and he's put together a nice page and a half memo, and I'm sure he'd be disappointed if I didn't distribute it.
Very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you. It'll go into our files for future reference. But that is, it is interesting when you think about how the journey of these pieces of legislation go through the courts and what impact do they actually have, and it would be quite interesting to find out that if we only did the adoption of the new stuff and found out the old stuff somehow didn't get re-energized to be part of the law. All right, so I don't think there's any other questions. Thank you all very much. Andrea Myers. Andrea, you're here.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, legislative director for the ACLU of Oregon. I appear today on behalf of the ACLU as well as Gail Meyer and the OCDLA. We are, both organizations are neutral. We have let, for my organization, David Fidanke, and for OCDLA, Michelle Burrows, be our experts on this. We have participated in this work group. I think, at least I'll speak for the ACLU, it's not the ideal version. It's not how we'd really write the law, but it is a consensus, and we will remain neutral on the bill.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else who wanted to give testimony today on Senate Bill 356? Not seeing anyone coming forward. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 356. And, Council, is there anything else we need to take care of?
Sir, members, good evening. That's it.
All right. Today being Thursday, tomorrow the committee is not scheduled to meet. We are scheduled to meet this next Monday. And for your records, please check the agenda time. I believe it's 8:45 versus 8:30.
Mr. Chair, don't we have a tour tomorrow at the DPS estate?
Oh, there is.
For those who are going to be able to participate, the DPSST will be opening up the facilities at the academy for us to participate. If you have that on your schedule, it's a great opportunity. I had the opportunity to be out there earlier this just prior to session. And Director Menace will give us a great opportunity. I know from previous ones that it's been one that's been a good experience, somewhat eye-awakening, and giving perspective of what type of training facilities we actually have, which are ranked as some of the best, if not the best, within the country. So hopefully members have checked in with Courtney or whoever else to make certain as to for travel to the facility. And thank you all very much, and we'll see some of I guess most of us may be up here on Saturday for the 150th birthday. Until then, or Monday, we're adjourned.